Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in to Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you, along with Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. If you're on your way into work, you want to keep listening to this full interview or anything else you might miss on the show, you can do that. Go to the Odyssey app, search Sports Daily, search KFH, and download the show and listen to it anytime you want. Fitz, welcome in. Always a pleasure to have you. Always curious about all sorts of things in life. What is the meaning of life, Fitz? Let's just start there. What is the meaning of life? And, you know, we never know what we're going to get with Fitz.
You go through life and you buy socks. That's pretty much it. You get socks and you lose one at a time. And
one gets a hole in it. Yeah.
And then I'm hopeful that when I pass away, my former dogs, family members, and lost socks will greet me there.
I'm going to ask you a question about socks. This is a good, we'll get to the important things in just a second. I wonder this all important. The time. Am I the only person that will wear a sock with a hole like the size of a silver dollar in it? Like, why do we cling to these things? It'd be so easy to just get a new pair of socks. Why do I have so many holes in my socks and in my underwear? Am I alone in that? Or is that like a thing that guys do in general?
I don't. Tommy, do you do that?
I don't.
Okay, it's a me thing then. Okay, just checking. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Fitz, K-State last night, they had an opportunity, a really, really good opportunity. We talked about this in the first hour. I do think there's a difference in what we've seen through the second half of KU, basically through that entire game last night, and let's say what we saw against Houston. I do think the team feels more inspired, at least at this point, and more capable of winning some Big 12 games maybe we didn't think they had a chance at 2-3 weeks ago.
They've definitely made progress. And if you're a gambler, they've covered the last three games. Woo! But, you know, it's not enough for a lot of fans. They want to see the W's, but in, you know, talking to Jerome Tang, he sees the progress. I think they felt like they had a really good shot last night, and they did. And then Baylor just kind of took it to them, and K-State is possibly the worst final 5-minute team I've ever seen in my life. They went like 3.5 minutes into the game last night without scoring. They scored like 4 points and, you know, a long stretch there towards the end. And as Jerome Tang, though, said in postgame, it wasn't really offense that did them in. Baylor scored like 44 points in the second half, guys.
Yeah,
they did a great job in the first half of bottling up Baylor. Baylor went from shooting 25% in the first half to 60% in the second half. And, you know, maybe a lot of that was just Baylor shot the rock better. But these are trends now we're beginning to see that this K-State team fades. They're going to have to figure that one out. And they better figure it out quick because they've got, West Virginia, Oklahoma State. And pretty soon they're going to run into Kansas, Arizona, and it's just going to be a gauntlet of teams. They've got a lot of ahead of them that they need to keep getting better if they want to be competitive in the next, 3 weeks.
I thought about this a lot during the Sunflower Showdown on Saturday that, you know, it would have been really easy for the Wildcats to just, you know, fold up like a cheap lawn chair after they got punched in the mouth when the game started by the Jayhawks. And they didn't. They hung tough. Yeah. And Coleman Hawkins had probably his best game as a Wildcat. Of course, Kansas was missing KJ Adams. And you know, so there was definitely, you know, that whole aspect of it as well.
It helped.
But I felt like, you know, they showed that heart and that intensity to try to get back in the game, cut the lead, you know, to six a couple of different moments. And I thought that that effort, for the most part, carried over into the game last night as well. I wonder, like, what is it going to take to just get over that hump then? Like, and I know you mentioned the final 5 minutes of the Baylor game last night. But, man, like, at least in the KU game on Saturday, they didn't start well. And, yeah, they had to pull themselves out of a hole. But it would have been really easy to just kind of go home and say it's not going to be our night.
Right. Right. And that's been the big change, is this team looks like it wants to compete. You know, in the past, you know, before this latest stretch, it didn't even look like they were interested in competing. They didn't seem to be engaged in any way in the game. They're engaged. Are they great? No, they're not great. They're not a great team. They have underperformed what we thought they would be, even when they're good. And I think they're beginning to find an identity. They're beginning to use more pieces selectively. You know, we saw David Castillo play some critical minutes again last night, and I think you just need to keep putting him out there. And for all of those thoughts that it's a transfer portal, transfer portal, transfer portal, Baylor had a freshman drop 30 on K-State last night.
Right.
So those players still exist. They might be hard to find, but I think Jerome Tang's ready to start the process of, you know, doing it in a more rounded way instead of just with transfer portal guys. And you know what? It's going to be a difficult transition because they got themselves in the middle of a river now, and they're going to change horses, and it ain't going to be pretty for at least a full year. And that's just the reality of the situation they're in. They tried something that I think a lot of us thought would work, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't really worked around college basketball, and now they've got to change systems, and boy, ain't going to be easy rebuilding a roster in the way they need to because they just haven't put the time in on high school recruiting that they need to, and that's another big swing and miss by this staff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's a chance to recover from it, at least the efforts there. Tim, I want to talk about the college football playoff in year one. We didn't have time to get to this last week. You like to get on, you know, Twitter and fight with fans from other parts of the country but not when it comes to the CFP. When it comes to the CFP, you're picking fights with the SEC. You're picking fights with the Big Ten. What do you like in totality, though? Like, this wasn't the Big 12's year. We knew it wasn't going to be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure a team needed to be there other than Arizona State in all reality. We got two teams in a championship game that wouldn't have been there before. We found in a very real way who the best team was. I think we need to play the game sooner, for sure. Outside of that, though, format-wise, are you happy with how this played out and shook out as far as which teams were there and those sorts of things, or is there still work to be done?
There's work to be done. I think we, first of all, let me say, I think this was by far the best thing we've had.
Yeah.
This was great. Guys, we had 11 college football games instead of three. I mean, that's huge. And I loved every game, even the blowouts. But I think we did find a couple things here that the bye plan, I even though I'm a Big 12 guy, I think you need to look at it and say, look, we're going to give the top four teams a bye. And like I've said repeatedly on my YouTube channel and my website that, hey, I think if you're a conference champion, you get a home game. You may not get a bye, but whatever the seedings are, it doesn't matter. You get a home game. You're a conference champion. And I think that's the good compromise. But we also saw that the four teams that got byes lost. And that needs to be addressed because we're not just talking about, you know, Arizona State losing as maybe an overseeded conference champion. We're talking about the top schools in the bracket also lost. So it's something that they'll need to look at. Chris Klieman has told me repeatedly they need to just go to 16, but we need to figure out the schedule a little bit better. There's a whole daisy chain of changes they need to make. Step one is to get all the conferences on the same page with the amount of conference games they're playing. And I think the number of power conference teams you play should be rewarded or punished, and then go to 16 and maybe guys, maybe we need to go back to 11 regular season games, and at the end of the year, I think even the ACC is looking at conference championship, trying to do something different. Maybe you just go to 11 games, and then the last week is scheduled on the fly. One plays four, two plays three, yes. And everyone else plays each other within your conference. And that gives you the best chance to move teams forward, and everyone gets that, last week. And if you're number, say, in the Big 12, you're number 15 and number 16, you get to play each other, maybe unless you've played already. And sort out who's the better of the bad. I think that would be a really fun way to do it on the last week. You wouldn't know who you're playing.
Also prevents Indiana, right? And it prevents a bad team that played a soft schedule from sneaking in there.
Yeah, you're right. It forces you.
I shouldn't say bad team.
They're a good team. They were, but they were really untested. And look, I'm not going to fault anyone for beating the teams you should beat.
Right.
A lot of teams don't do that, including the national champion.
Yeah.
And they did that. I think that they need to kind of reimagine not just college football, guys, but I've got this thing. I want to do a project on reimagining college athletics and the calendar, mostly, of what we're doing and how we're going about it. Because I think it can be better for the student athletes and better for the fans and better, honestly, for the TV partners, to have more year-round type programming. So we'll see. What they look at doing, I think they might leave it alone for a year, but I know that it's going to be a lot calmer with changes because the SEC stunk. Because if they had shown that they were really good and didn't have enough spots, all hell would break loose.
Yeah.
But they weren't very good, and it'll be calm. But I think that it says a lot about college athletics, and I'll shut up after this, that we're all happy the SEC, outside the SEC, of course, didn't make it to the final again. But somehow we're celebrating Ohio State as a victory for the little guy? What?
Hey, but I mean, by the way, like real quick, did you ever think we'd be talking about national champion Will Howard?
No, but my God, did he transform into college football playoff Tom Brady or what?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, he just ripped through that bracket. That was as brilliant a quarterback play. I'm going to go out on a limb here. That was as brilliant of quarterback play at the college level I've seen over a four-game stretch against really good opponents, probably in my memory. I don't remember ever seeing a quarterback do what Will Howard did, and maybe it's just because nobody's had that opportunity to do it in a playoff format like that. But it was absolutely brilliant. He was calm, collected, and he just distributed the ball to his guys. And critics say he's like the eighth best guy on that offense. There's more talent on that offense. Will Howard just long for the ride. Folks, he was the MVP. And he was the MVP for a reason. Because, he might not be the highest NFL-rated talent on that offense, but he put it all together. He was the thing that connected it all, and he was brilliant. He really was. I'm really happy for the kid. He's a great young man.
Poster boy for all the good things about the transfer portal,
in my
opinion. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at GoPowerCat.com?
Well, we're going to talk about a little basketball.
Yay.
That always drives those subscriptions. And we've gone to a new podcast format. We just tried to, try something out. And we're now doing, instead of one big podcast, we're doing three smaller ones. We did a women's basketball one that was my nephew, Ethan, who covers that for us. It was brilliant. And then it was his podcast debut. And then we've got a football one breaking loose here in just an hour, I think. And then, or I guess it's 2 hours now that you guys are morning creatures. And then we've got a basketball one coming up and more coverage. Heck, they play again on Saturday. It just doesn't stop.
Here we go. GoPowerCat.com. Thanks, Fitz. We're coming right back with more Sports Daily right after this.
Good choice.